From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The city and county of La Crosse want to set an example to its residents. A few years back, it established the Sustainable La Crosse Commission to focus on ways to save energy and cut back on waste. The commission recently released its first study, the Sustainability Indicators Report, as a way to benchmark the city's and county's progress. I recently talked with a few people who worked on the report. Raintree Jean Salk is an assistant professor of sustainable management at Viterbo University. Amy Peterson is the City of La Crosse's planning and economic development administrator. And Nick Nichols is the La Crosse County Sustainability Coordinator. Nichols started out by explaining how the strategic plan for sustainability was put together.
Basically, this came about from an effort that was put together by Dorothy Leonard and Jay Johnson, who were both on the city council, Jay also being on the county board. They were very impressed with the Natural Step program, which our plan is based on, and they wanted to bring this process to the city and county of La Crosse. And so they were the main impetus for this plan getting started.
And why is it important for La Crosse, the city and the county, to be more sustainable?
Well, the whole idea behind sustainability is economics. You know, it's great for us tree huggers because, you know, we like to save the environment. But when you get right down to it, sustainability is all about money. It's how can you become more efficient? How can you save energy? You know, and all that gets right back down to our budget system. We're spending taxpayer dollars in our buildings and within our processes. And the more we can make those tax dollars stretch, the better we are at providing the services that the community depends upon.
And Raintree, are other communities putting together plans like this throughout not just Wisconsin but throughout the country, or is La Crosse unique?
Throughout the nation, it's becoming very prevalent. There are communities that have had plans in place that precede La Crosse's plans by about 10 or 15 years. So there are many communities who are very far advanced on their path to sustainability, whereas others are more laggards, as we call them.
How does La Crosse add up compared to everyone else?
I'd say we're about in the middle. Obviously, there's a lot of great work that has been done. Having a plan in place and working towards our goals is incredibly important. But there is always room for improvement.
What about in Wisconsin? How does La Crosse stack up towards other communities who are trying to change the ways that they live sustainably?
I'd say we stack up pretty well. There are several communities that are ahead of us.
Well, I think there were a number of communities that came on the 25 by 25 initiative put forth by Governor Doyle, and La Crosse did as well. I think what's unique in La Crosse is that we have the commission that is both city and county representatives on the same board. I don't know that that's replicated anywhere else in the state.
And can you remind us about the 25 by 25 initiative?
Really, that was just an initiative to say that 25% energy reduction by the year 2025. And I think the city also put in a sustainability component that we would have renewables, 25% renewables by 2025 as well.
So you all worked together to put together the Sustainable La Crosse Commission's Sustainability Indicators Report, which touches on a number of subjects regarding energy use, water. And it really looks at government, and it also looks at the community. I wanted to talk about the government efforts first. Why was this indicators report released 3 years after the goals were actually set?
It took us a very long time to actually collect the data. We began putting this together in February 2010, and just collecting and compiling all of the information across all county and city operations was very laborious. And so several of us all worked together in concert trying to produce this report. And this report is really allows us to monitor the implementation of the sustainability plan. That is the Sustainable La Crosse Commission's charge. And so we came up with this idea of creating this report so we had a way to compile all of the information and to see whether or not the city and county is adhering to its goals.
But let's talk about energy first. I know it's broken up by city and county. In the city of La Crosse, the goal is to reduce energy consumption by 25% by 2025, as you mentioned, Amy. Is that an obtainable goal? Amy?
I won't say whether we will hit that or not, but we're moving towards it, and I think that's the key piece. We have a goal to move towards, and there are a number of different operations in different departments, whether it's changing out the lighting in City Hall or changing out the motors in our wastewater treatment plant to be more energy efficient that, you know, not the general public doesn't typically see, but those are all working towards this goal to reduce energy. So
one thing I was surprised about was that the majority of the energy that's used within city government is through the wastewater treatment facility and the water department. I mean, together it made about 53% of the city's energy use. I mean, should we be surprised by that?
No, that's typical for most communities. They're high energy users to complete those processes. So,
and the airport also made some changes that was mentioned in the report by changing out light bulbs and whatnot. Can you talk about other efforts within city departments to reduce energy consumption?
One that comes to mind, we just had recently the Sustainable La Crosse Commission had a presentation by our IT department, which has been working closely with Focus on Energy to not only bring in more energy efficient laptops, printers, etc. And recently our council just went paper free, so our council all has laptops now that they work from. So that's just a couple things I can think of offhand.
Are there other goals that the city is working towards? Because obviously it's going to take a little more than just, you know, changing out light bulbs and purchasing new equipment. But what else is the city looking at to reduce its energy use as far as electricity goes?
It's basically up to this point been department by department. So I think we need to start looking at that shift in the future as to how we can do a more coordinated effort to hit that goal. I don't know that that goal is embedded in every department head's mind within the city, maybe the way it should be. So,
is that something that you hope to work on with different department heads?
It's a good goal for us to work towards. The sustainability component is a very small portion of my job, being more on the economic development side within the city. So it doesn't get as much time maybe as it should, and that's something that we need to look at in the future as well.
And Nick, with the county's electricity use, the kilowatt hours being used has kind of been going up and down. You know, a lot of these figures start in 2005 or 2006 when these goals weren't necessarily put in place yet. So is this used as a benchmark?
Oh, sure. You can take a look at the past numbers, but you also have to take into consideration, you know, the other added uses. In 2010, you see a big spike in the county's use of electricity, but we were also going through construction on the law enforcement center. And so now our usage is higher. But overall, when you're taking a look at the usage on a per square foot basis, it's probably lower. We haven't gotten quite to that indicator, but we're working on that. And that's what we're trying to get to is how much energy are we using per square foot in our buildings? You know, we're all trying to get there, and we're trying to figure out all the ways to get there. And like Raintree said, you know, there are other cities out there that have these plans in place that are doing other efforts. And instead of trying to create all those things on our own, we're also trying to replicate what other people are doing. You know, I'm more than happy to steal ideas from any other municipality that's out there and see if there's a way for us to reduce our energy use.
I would assume that a lot of municipalities are borrowing ideas from each other.
Absolutely. You know, especially nowadays when, you know, we're all under these budget cuts and budget constraints. And how do we squeeze out an extra nickel here and an extra dime there? We're all trying that.
Can you talk about different ideas that the county's looking at towards saving money when it comes to electricity?
Oh, we're doing a lot of the same things that the city is doing. You know, you're trying to reduce the amount of electricity you're using, so you're trying to get people to turn off lights. We do some training with staff to try and educate them that it's important for them to turn off their computers and those kinds of things. And hopefully when we're doing that training, they can take some of these actions home. You know, and turn off appliances that they don't need and cut out some of those vampire loads from like computers and televisions that are always running whether you use them or not.
I mean, those seem like little efforts, but do they really make a big difference in the long run? I mean, just turning your computer off at night?
Absolutely. You can save quite a bit of money just by unplugging the things that you don't need. And why would you want to spend money on electricity when you're not using it?
The city and county are both tracking their gas usage in this indicators report. With this push towards natural gas, do you think that natural gas use will go up within the city and county, or is that something you're trying to bring down as well?
Well, it's like any type of energy. We're trying to reduce our use of that energy. We put in two solar water systems with an energy efficiency conservation block grant that we got from the state of Wisconsin. That's reduced our natural gas use for heating water at the law enforcement center and at our Lakeview healthcare building. So anything that we can do like that, we're taking a look at.
And what about water usage?
Unfortunately, we're kind of a water-rich community, so we don't take water into consideration a lot, but we certainly should be now that we're in the middle of a drought. So,
I think things within city operations, even from low flow heads that you hear about that the public can use as well. But I think in the future we may look towards a more of a public education program for the community on how the general public can save water as well.
One of the final things that the government aspect of this indicators report looks at is green products and paper, which kind of was interesting to me. As far as saving paper within government, how is that going over? Is that hard for people to adjust to?
I think it's hard for some folks to adjust to. Recently, with the council members going paperless, it took a while to get them to that point, and they've had to make some adjustments. But I think once they get there, the majority of them prefer it. So.
Well, and I think it might be a little harder for some of us older folks who are used to having a piece of paper in our hands. Sometimes it takes an effort to not print everything.
I saw that city and county are both looking towards using eco-friendly soaps and cleaners, and even the county is looking at regional fruits and vegetables for the inmates at the jail. I mean, is that more expensive, or does that not matter in the end?
Oh, I don't think it matters in the end. In fact, it has quite an economic impact, and Raintree, maybe you can speak to that a little better than I can. I mean, we're dealing with Jellivet Farms supplies us with a lot of our fruits and vegetables that go into the jail, and so we're helping a local company. I'd say that's a pretty good benefit, especially when we're spending taxpayer money.
Raintree, do you want to talk about that more? I mean, is that typical? Are other communities, and even just looking at using local products for not only their jails, but maybe even cafeterias in different local governments?
Yeah, there's a huge local foods movement. It's in La Crosse as well. But I think part of the impetus, when you think about sustainability, it's not only the economic piece, which is comparable, but also it's the fact that there is transportation that is involved. So there's uses of non-renewable resources that from getting point A to point B. And then there's also this idea of supporting local taxpayers, so keeping the money within the community.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. Today, we're talking about the Sustainable La Crosse Commission's Sustainability Indicators Report. I'm joined by Raintree Jean Salk. She's an assistant professor of sustainable management at Viterbo University. Nick Nichols, he's a La Crosse County Sustainability Coordinator. And Amy Peterson, she's the City of La Crosse's Planning and Economic Development Administrator. The other half of the indicators report are these community indicators, which includes everything from energy use, land use, but it also has some social indicators in there as well. Why was it important to focus in on the community and not just the government in this report?
I think the viability of any community is dependent upon the status and well-being of its inhabitants. So residents in the community is a huge indicator of sustainability. If people are faltering in their own community and struggling to make ends meet, that is an indicator of the long-term viability of any given community.
Because I think when people hear sustainability, maybe usually they just think of energy use, consuming material goods, not necessarily, you know, socioeconomic status and crime rates and whatnot.
Well, sustainability inherently acknowledges that everything is interdependent and interconnected. So there is the societal element, there's the economic element, and then there's the environmental element. And without all of those things working in unison, you will not have a sustainable society.
So let's dive into some of these community indicators. La Crosse has gone through a number of changes in regards to solid waste in the last few years. How is La Crosse in regards to solid waste? Are people recycling what they should be recycling?
Well, I think people are recycling fairly well. La Crosse area doesn't recycle as well as it could. There is certainly room for improvement there. We're getting quite a bit of material metals, like non-ferrous metals, like aluminum cans, and ferrous metals like steel cans and things like that out of the XL Energy plant. They're pulling quite a bit of that material out, which shouldn't be going there in the first place.
And they separate that at the plant?
They separate that at the plant, but, you know, people shouldn't think that, well, just because they're doing that, I can toss my stuff in the garbage. We need to do a better job of recycling within this community in order to keep that material out of the XL Energy plant and out of the landfill. But as far as our diversion rate, we count diversion as anything that does not go into the landfill, and we count quite a bit of that material that goes to XL Energy and is used to create energy. We also count like asphalt shingles that we recycle at the landfill. They're used in road base. Matthew Construction uses those. We count the wood waste that we keep out. And when you take into consideration all the material that we work hard to try and keep out of the landfill, we have a diversion rate in the area of 42%. That's outstanding.
When people don't recycle products that they could be recycling, does that have much of an economic impact on the county?
It has an impact because you're talking about resources that are being thrown away that could be used someplace else. Recycling makes money for different companies within our community. Harder's Quick Cleanup and Hilltoppers both make money off of collecting recyclables. You know, and I would rather have them make money than put the material into a landfill. It just doesn't make any kind of economic sense to me to throw something out that's perfectly usable.
And then also you look at transportation, and the MTU bus ridership is on the rise. Was that surprising to anyone? Amy?
I don't know that it was. I think with the recent recession, it probably helped up those numbers. And I think that type of ridership is coming more to the forefront of people's minds. And if the MTU can continue to move forward to meet people's needs, more people will use the MTU system.
When you put together the Sustainability Indicators Report and you look at the government and you look at community, do you want to show that government is doing its part and hope that the community follows suit?
Absolutely. It's lead by example and show that sustainability makes economic sense and be a resource.
Do you think that through government action, the community will indeed do its part to lead a more sustainable life?
I think it's a movement. It's a beginning of a start to a movement. And if we can continue to keep this in front of the community, that the community will engage and continue to move with it.
What do you want people to most take away from this, not only this report, but what the Sustainable La Crosse Commission is doing?
That government's being responsible. You know, we are here to help. We're from the government and we're here to help. I think what this shows is that we're trying to do the best we can with what we have, and we're trying to be responsible to the taxpayer and to the citizens of our community in trying to make sure that their money is well spent and that their investments are being done responsibly.
Do any of you have final thoughts on the report or sustainable lifestyles in the La Crosse area?
I think that what the county and city has been doing is a really good model for businesses in the area as well. I know that there are a lot of businesses in the area that are moving in that direction, but we produced a report that can be mirrored within their own operations, and city and county residents can also glean from this ideas for how they can impact their own community.
Nick?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Raintree. Business is doing quite a bit within our community when it comes to sustainability. If you start taking a look at some of the operations around here, they're having huge impacts. Look at Gunderson Lutheran's goal for becoming energy independent by the year 2014. And the effort that we did with the Solid Waste Department and the landfill, using the landfill gas to supply their Onalaska campus. That's a huge example of the types of things that can be done. It takes a little bit of innovative thinking, and it takes a consciousness of what you're doing, especially within your energy use, and you just have to be aware and think about what's going on. Ask the questions that need to be asked. What can I do to become more sustainable? What can I do to keep more money in my pocket?
And Amy?
I think I would just add that it is the economic component, that we are using taxpayer dollars wisely, but it really is that overall picture of the environment and the socioeconomic element of it as well, to look at it holistically, to ensure that it's not just the automobile, just the MTU, that we do have bike lanes and et cetera, that there are multiple options for members of this community in the future.
Amy Peterson is the City of La Crosse's Planning and Economic Development Administrator. Raintree Jean Salk is an Assistant Professor of Sustainable Management at Viterbo University. And Nick Nichols is the La Crosse County Sustainability Coordinator. They talked about the La Crosse City-County Sustainability Indicators Report. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCullum. Our production team includes Steve Reusum, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.